Welcome to Tales of Northern Michigan's Past. I'm your host, Christopher Struble, and joining us today is Northern Michigan's favorite rock star, Kenny Olson. Kenny Olson was a founding member of the Twisted Brown Trucker Band, better known as Kid Rock, and served as their lead guitarist for over 10 years. Kenny Olson in the house, my friend.
Hey, how are you all doing? Good to see you, my brother.
Thanks for coming all the way up to Petoskey. I know you just returned from a few shows in California, and you've been doing a lot of traveling, so I definitely appreciate you coming up here to be live in the studio. We don't always do them live in the studio, so it's an honor to have you here.
Well, it's always good, you know, when I'm not on the road, or, you know, I divide my time between being downstate, you know, Detroit area with a recording studio, and then place up here, but then I'm always on the road flying to California, blah, 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 wherever in the country or world. But it's always good to just come back home. And just driving up here today along the coast,
there's only a few places.
Oh yeah, no place like home, like they say in the Wizard of Oz.
And you were in one of the gigs you just did was the Route 66 Festival with the Northern Michigan rocker Mel from Grand Funk. Is that right?
Yeah, it was cool. I was talking to Mel, like, I don't know, like a week before the show, and we were just trying to coordinate some plans to, you know, make some get together and work on some stuff. You know, he's an old dear friend, and I told him I was going to be in California next week. Me too. And then we just realized we're playing the same festival,
same gig.
They played Friday night. I played Saturday night, but I flew in Friday, so I got to see their show, and it was rocking like to be expected and beyond. It's cool.
A pretty busy week flying back and forth.
Michigan boys invading Ontario, California. It was a Route 66 festival. So there was like a lot of really just badass cars everywhere and a lot of great people. So it was a lot of fun.
Cool. I guess I ask, that brings up, you know, what is it in the water up here? I mean, think of all the musicians that have nurtured their talents here in Northern Michigan and then gone on to achieving their dreams along the way. Many have actually changed the musical landscape. You think, you know, in addition to the contributions you've made to the industry, you got Mark Farner, also from Grand Funk, who lives here in Petoskey. Back in our day, we had Bob James, the accomplished jazz musician who wrote the theme song to Taxi, if you remember that. He's up in Leland now.
Bob's a great guy. Amazing, amazing talent. I've known him a long time as well. And yeah.
Yeah. Northern Michigan, man. And then this is almost Northern Michigan, but Iggy Pop was actually born in Muskegon before he headed south. I didn't know it was Muskegon where he was born, actually. And then you start adding all the talent that's attended, like you and I were talking the other day, Interlochen Art School outside of Traverse City, one of the top music schools in the world, with a list of accomplished students, musicians, includes what Nora Jones is one you brought up. People remember seeing Jewel. You got Josh Groban, Peter Frampton's son, I think, was a Julian. Was that the one that attended there? But one of his kids attended Interlochen also. And then you think about the other musicians around here. Look what Billy Strings is up to these days, my God. And he's played with so many of the players that you and I came up with, like Don Julian.
I mean, the list is, I mean, when you go through the whole the state of Michigan, I mean, like myself and some of the other guys you've mentioned, you know, a lot of people have been found, you know, a field, a nice getaway and a place to really feel at home up here, but are from, like myself, downstate originally, or Chicago, wherever, anywhere around the world for that matter. But when you look at the state of Michigan, you know, obviously Detroit, it's so historical for Motown and, you know, and like you brought up, like Iggy, you know, good old Jim there, and like Seeger.
Seeger's got a place up
here. You know, the MC5, you know, the Grand Funk. I mean, there's so many Motown, from the funk to the R&B to the blues, jazz, rock. There is so many legendary people going all the way up the state of Michigan. I mean, even look at, like, Flint, you get up in the Saginaw. I mean, look at all the amazing
Anthony
artists.
Anthony Kiedis from down by Grand Rapids.
Like, Dick Wagner and, I mean, Diane Ross, Stevie Wonder, they're all from, like, Saginaw area.
Yeah.
Serena Williams is from Saginaw. But, you know, and you got all these amazing even actors and stuff, too, that people, it's, there's something, like you said, in the water. It could be in the earth, you know, whatever, but there's something sacred about the state of Michigan and the amazing people that have come from all over the state that have gone on to, you know, make amazing things happen in their careers. And, you know, like myself, you have to travel and go get on a journey out there. I mean, but, you know, look at how many of us that find our way back here just after the long journey. They're still like, okay, got to come back and ground yourself in what better place. And that's why I think it, I mean, there's so many amazing things about, you know, up here, but it's anybody who's ever been here or people. I mean, I bring people in from all over the world too, and then I'll turn them on to here, and they've never been here, and they leave like going, "My God!"
Yeah,
and all you know, you can go all over the world, and you're still gonna. It's like there's nothing like up here.
A lot of people think of Michigan, they think of Detroit, they think, like you said, Saginaw, those kind of areas, but Northern Michigan, man, it's a whole different vibe up here, obviously.
I mean, the vibe is great down there, too. You know, that's part of what it's, you know, I think Michigan, you know, in history and stuff, it's fascinating. Even all the amazing stuff that's been invented here, been manufactured here, you know, just, it's like I said, it's like, I mean, there could be a full library of building full of books based on people from Michigan that have gone on to do amazing things. And that says a lot. Yeah.
And then you got other guys that may not be world known, but man, we got some great players up here. People like Pete Kehoe here in Petoskey, Ivan Greilich, man. Like, I mean, Greilich just tears the hell out of a guitar.
Oh yeah.
And then guys from your band, even, I mean, your cousin, Jimmy Olsen, no slouch on the keys. And Kevin Gill is one of the best bass players I've ever seen. So, you know,
there's a lot of talent up here. I mean, that's when I moved up here when I first came up here, I was like, you know, going in high school and stuff. And I grew up downstate and had all this music that it poured into me. And I was surrounded by all these amazing players that, you know, I was still processing everything that I had taken in at a young age. And then, you know, up here, there was like a lot of inspiring people, even teachers and stuff like that, that were, you know, it was that embraced that. And I think that, you know, the Northern Michigan, there's a big culture up here that really, you know, tries to really support that and tries to, you know, just encourage the creativity amongst a lot of artists up here. I mean, and I think that those years and the people that I was amazed, you know, I'm like, you know, I've been coming up north my whole life, visiting family and stuff, but and vacationing, but you know, to come up here and meet all these amazing people that were already like living up here and talking, even like you said, you brought up Interlochen, and it's just there's nothing like it. Yeah.
And then going back to Interlochen, don't forget another musician that came out of there, Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, God.
People always forget about that. We did a whole episode on the Epstein Interlochen connection, so he went on to do other things. Ouch, man. But you and I are old timers. When people ask me which high school I went to in TC when I moved here in 82, it was Central. I mean, that was the only public school at the time.
Unless you went to like St. Francis or something.
Yeah. Or Pathfinder, but for all of us normal kids, well, I don't say normal, but that was the public high school. So we all knew each other.
We're all forever Pathfinders finding our path.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, but we had huge classes, man. We had like 700 to 1,000 each of our classes. And I think we all knew each other, and especially the musicians. I think I was here 1 year before you. What year did you move? I moved in 82.
Yeah, it was like at least like a year after that, probably.
And we were, you and I were part of the act.
I remember seeing The Who and living down in Detroit, and it was The Who at Silverdome. That was like 82, 83. So it wasn't at least another year or so after that.
No, I first met you when I was in 11th, you were in 10th, and you and I were part of the Acme crew on the north side represent, yeah. Man, that was a whole different group of hooligans, man. We were forced to kind of hang out with each other back then, and it was a great opportunity for me, because music's always been one of my greatest passions. I remember literally being 7 years old and walking past the window and seeing a double neck Gibson like Jimmy Page's in the music store, and I was just like, that was it for me. I was captivated, and I'm not gonna ever admit this again publicly, but right about the time I met you, I was rocking my Walkman, imagining I was Mike Reno from the lead singer from Loverboy. So that was
my. Did you have Richard Simmons shorts on?
So you saved me, man. You kind of turned my musical direction. Not the Loverboy wasn't a great '80s band, but I guess you know, moving forward right now, I think I'd rather have broadened my musical horizon. So thanks for saving me. I mean, you were showing me Stevie Ray Vaughan licks on a 90 nylon string by 83 84, and I'd never even heard of Stevie Ray Vaughan at that time.
As you get into the real world and out of that One Hot Minute. Wasn't that one of the names of their songs or their tour or whatever? I remember that when people the somewhat of a mullet bad hairdo era, and you see people rocking the tank top.
You gotta have tank top.
Loverboy tank top, and it was like
headband.
No, the name of their album or tour was One Hot Minute or some shit. Funny.
Loving every minute of it. That's what it was. Loving every minute. Yeah, okay. Loving every minute.
Okay.
I think. I said, and of course, they were one of the bands that played
right,
well, at.
I'll write a song called One Hot Minute.
when did you start playing guitar?
Well, I have a picture of me coming out of the womb playing it, but no.
That's a ukulele size. Man. Oh.
Now, I guess it's. I mean, I always liked, you know, and grew up. I mean, I guess when I was even a little kid and Foxy Lady came on the radio, I would run around the house, you know, playing air guitar and singing that. And I was probably only like 3 years old, you know, or 4 years old. Six, I don't know. I know, actually, that didn't come on the radio until a few years after Jimmy had passed. So I might have been five. You know, six, just running around, you know, like in that. At some point, you know, I was already into, like, as a kid, like, you know, I'd hear people like Hendrix or all the old classic rockers. And, I mean, a lot of those cool records from Motown to rock and blues, all that stuff was in my around for me to hear. And I had other relatives and neighbors and people that were into playing. So I just kind of, I mean, I remember I saved up my paperboy money, you know, and sold one of my BMX bike because, I started playing guitar and I wanted a cool electric guitar, and I had one, you know, and I was already, you know, getting into it. I was probably in sixth grade, and going into seventh grade, I wanted to start my real preteen, young teen years with a real Fender guitar. So I saved up and got a Fender Mustang, candy apple red, with a matching headstock and a little white racing stripe. It was like 1968 guitar
or 68, real 68, back.
Yeah. Or 69, and I put that whole fever of getting good tones and having cool guitars. But I went into, so I would say probably, you know, that transition of going into between sixth and seventh grade is when I, you know, because by seventh grade I was already playing in the talent show.
Oh, man.
You know, at my junior high downstate. Yeah.
Took me a little longer. I learned Smoke on the Water by these four Mexican brothers who lived in my neighborhood. Great guys, and they taught me Smoke on the Water and made fun of
the
fact
that I was... to play it the right way, or was like the single note,
we played the
wrong key version?
We played the La Bamba version. So music didn't come naturally to me. I mean, so obviously you had a little bit more of a predisposition. I mean, if you were already playing shows.
A lot of times people have been with amazing music talents get stifled by people, too. Like, you know, I got confused about the whole notes and all that stuff. It wasn't like, you know, like when I finally figured out my own way of seeing everything in patterns and being able to sing it as I hear it on my instrument, like I would sing it with my voice, you know, there's, you know, different people are strong in different things. So it's, and until you really tap into it, you know, one never knows, you know.
But that's the thing. You know, when you came to Traverse City, I mean, like, you were already kind of perceived as kind of like a rock star for the fact that you'd already developed your own style, and that's something. Anybody can learn the mechanics of playing an instrument, like you said, the notes, and you know, I can play other people's music and it can do it pretty good. But, you know, some players, I'd say even most players, I would venture to say, never really reached that level of having that's a distinction of their own style. And that's something you told me once when we first hooked up again, and you're like, you know, I mean, I'd be able to do everything, but I can sure do what I do, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the best gift and compliment a musician can ever get is that they have their own signature sound.
That's it.
Like their own voice. Like when you hear a singer sing, you know, it's, you know, Aretha Franklin, Gladys Knight, or Chaka Khan, or, you know, it's Steven Tyler, Iggy Pop, Tom Waits, you know, whoever they have. Okay, that's so-and-so, or their music style. And to have that in your playing, where when you hear it, you know, anybody, even someone else's song, go, oh, wow, that's, you know, Hendrix, that's Santana, that's Clapton, that's David Gilmour, that's, you know, people that have those sounds. And I always believe that, you know, even besides, like, learning how to play guitar from being influenced by the guitar players, I would listen to people like Gladys Knight and try to find my own voice in playing guitar. You know, I'd, like, listen to, like, I remember my... one of my guitar teachers was in the way in the jazz, and I was like 10, 11 years old out going to garage sales and buying albums and getting like Miles Davis, Bitches Brew and stuff, and not knowing what all those guitar parts are playing, that he's John McLaughlin, whoever was playing on those different albums. but you could hear the horn line and just find it. So I was all into like learning about like, you know, more like scales, like people learn scales when they're singing, learning it on guitar so that I can sing, play guitar and find my voice within my, you know, I love singing, but I'm not, you know, I was born in this body, and this body sings better with a guitar than it does vocally, but that doesn't, you know, I also, you know, I still sing, but, you know, sometimes crooning is a cool way to go about it, because as long as it comes from that gospel-rooted, you know, music, which everything great has, you know, rock, blues, R&B, jazz, country, you know, is all rooted from that soulfulness and being able to phrase, so it's like, draw people in. That's feel. I mean, people need to play to a song. Musicians, like, the people that are always, like, going, well, how do you get asked to do this or play with that? Because you got to learn how to play with people, and there's so many people that want to just come in there and just wank over the whole thing, and they're like, it's all of a sudden they start just thinking about themselves and not playing what everybody else is doing in the song. That's like just as annoying as if you're watching a movie at home and someone just comes in the house and just starts clunking noise and starts talking to you while you're trying to watch a movie. You know, it's like,
yeah, it's got to contribute to what's going on. I mean, it's got to to contribute to the song or the and you said, you know, about people you can easily recognize. I completely forgot about this man. I stumbled on it, unfortunately, and God was it unfortunate. But thank God he isn't credited on the record. But remember when Don Johnson had an album out? Well, who took the third solo? Stevie Ray Vaughan, man.
Forgot about that. I didn't even like. That's been. Wow, that did happen, huh?
That did happen, man. He was rolling high, and Stevie was just starting, and he was taking a break in L.A. And somehow Don Johnson reached out to him through his manager and asked him to put a solo down, and he did. It, you know, it wasn't Stevie Ray's best, but you can tell it's him. But my God, was that an awful song, man, Don Johnson?
Dang, yeah, I kind of do remember that now.
But Ronnie Wood was on it, man. He has some heavy hitters.
And that stuff's fun, you know. I've got to do a lot of collaborating with people I never thought I would when I was younger, and it's amazing. Even that stuff can be a blast. And when someone like that organizes something like that, I remember his record now.
You still got it, man. You know you've got it.
I never acquired it. I just remember him doing all that.
You went right to cassette.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty safe to say that.
I'm sure that that CD or cassette's been used for Don Johnson, Miami Vice, you know.
Yeah. That's part of the contract. You got to play all my music for season 8.
And then, or just Miami Vice, you know. Yeah, I'm sure that the CD in that era would have, like, seen.
And I think it's pretty safe to say that, you know, the whole time I knew you in high school and stuff, it seemed like you're kind of destined to kind of pursue music after school. You knew that's what was going to happen, right?
Yeah, I was never... best learner in school. Teachers were kind of, I don't know, I learned a lot. I mean, my head was always all over the place. But I remember, like, everybody, you know, a lot of people growing up, you know, I loved sport. You know, baseball was something that I, you know, like every kid, you know, all different sports. And I think by the time I was, like, had to move, and I was already playing around even Detroit before I moved up here, and like, and even Birmingham, like Cream Magazine, they'd have these Midnight Madness things downtown Birmingham, and Marty's Records, and we were down there playing, opening up for all these like legendary cats, and I was only like 15.
No, man.
Know? So when I came up here, it was like, and I wasn't playing baseball anymore. I threw my arm out, and I wasn't doing great in school, and I kind of felt like I lived in my own island of misfit toys. I always identified with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and that island, so I figured, you know, it was just at that point I had all these just crazy revelations every day. I'd pick up a guitar and just all of a sudden, just even spiritually, it connected me to another, it became really spiritually connected to something where the guitar, you know, through the guitar and me, it just, I don't know, really, you know, I found my own voice, I guess, in life.
Yeah, your own place, man.
My own. This was going to be the wings and the legs and what, you know, to get me around. The wind, you know, so I just
can't fight destiny.
Yeah, and I've never I've blessed, you know, like everybody, and through the highs and lows, you know, we've had our, you know, ups and downs. Feel very blessed with all that I've made a living for most of my whole life, you know. doing what I love to do, but it's not all the to be a bluesman, you got to live the blues. So
like that's not a cliche.
The highs are high and the lows are very low, and the in betweens are far between. So
it's a tough industry. Look at how it's changed so much over your. You and I've watched it.
Now it's just it's just unbelievable. It's like a, it used to not even be cool to like act like some social media attention whore. You know, like even if you wanted, like if you met somebody cool, as soon as you even asked to do a picture with them, you went from potential friend to just a fan. You know, it's like, it was more like, yeah, there was like through years, I met a lot of amazing people and it's, I got to take a picture with someone. So I don't mean it like that, but just in general, people are just so, what drives it all and what the reasons we do it all for is all confused now.
Yeah.
And there's no, I mean, it's just, it's on, I mean, I could go on and on and on about the frustrations with it all. And it just feels like one big, amazing football game with all these people that are getting ready to play a game, but then everybody from the stands came down from the audience or the seats and got on the field and started playing the game at the same time, where it's like there's no, it's just, I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of songs I think released a day just on Spotify with no direction home. I mean, there's like back in the day, it was you had to earn your stars and stripes to even get a record deal and find a place and radio. You had to do it the old way. You had to go and write good music and actually be able to physically play it, and then take it on the road and get a fan base from it. You know, you get a record deal and they gamble on because they think you're good, and they put some money into you to help you get out there. And you know, without, now it's just flooded with everybody just wants to be a rock star, where it used to be more like the chosen ones were the ones that made it through the trenches.
And just the other day, it's dead on what you just said, Rick Beato. If you watch his YouTube channel, he's been interviews, he's a producer, he interviews everybody. But he had a statistic the other day, and he went through in 1972, for instance, that whole year, the number one songs, there were 315 bands. And then in the 80s, it was 312 bands that hit number one. And then now, there's only been five bands that have hit number one in like the last 6 years. It's singers. You got a team of songwriters, producers. They're all coming in. It's not like the old days where five guys got together and you had to mesh. Like you said, you had to be able to play, write, perform, and you had to be good. You know, somebody had to enjoy it. After high school, did you head to Detroit, L.A.? I mean, I know you eventually wound up in L.A. Was that your first stop?
I went back to Detroit right out of high school. Shortly, you know, couple of years after that, I was out in L.A. and then New York, and then back to Detroit, back to L.A., back to Detroit, back to L.A., back to Detroit. You know, like
back up here every once in a while.
Between once in a while, come up here to like be a wounded animal and crawl into my bunk, you know, kind of thing. You know, sometimes that you have to, you know, do what one needs to do to like get yourself spiritually intact again. And like I said, coming back up here is always a great place to do that, you know. But you know, I went when and you know, I was I guess it was in 1994, the big Northridge earthquake hit, and that really, my place of where I was staying at with my manager at the time, we were at the time I wasn't there because I was on, I had left California to just take I wasn't at our apartment. I wasn't even in L.A. when the earthquake hit. And so I had nowhere to go back to. So I just ended back in Michigan. And then, it was fun. I decided I was going to live up in Ann Arbor. And because I grew up more of a Woodward Avenue kid, where I grew up and down there, and some living in downtown as well, but I wanted to try Ann Arbor, and I loved it. You know, I was there, it was, playing with me and Scott Ashton from the Stooges, and Scott Morgan and Gary Rasmussen and I, you know, so I'm playing, like, having fun, just playing with some legends there in Ann Arbor, and it was cool. And then Bob Ritchie and I knew each other from Kid Rock, aka from back in the day, because he was his tour manager, Funky Daddy Def Steph was my roommate in Eastern Market at one point back in the early 90s, in my in-between living in L.A. and Detroit phases of the late 80s, early 90s. But, and yeah, it was just up in Ann Arbor, and a friend of mine, Gary Pace, told me that, you know, hey, looking for, you know, he'd been doing some stuff around Detroit, had been, came back from New York, came back from L.A., and you know, I joined forces with him, and, you know, after, you know, some cool, you know, some years around the Midwest, we had a big deal and blew up, and it was an amazing journey.
You've been listening to Tales of Northern Michigan's Past. Join us next time as we continue our conversation with Kenny Olson, probably best known as lead guitar player for over 10 years with the band Kid Rock.